Let's get into the message. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Now, no one in a crisis moment needs to be reminded to pray. No one during a time of difficulty needs to be encouraged to pray. It's just our emotions are tied in it. We're waiting for a phone call. We're waiting for an update. We're looking at articles that are going to tell us the latest news of what's going on. But we carry this burden and we're just always, our minds are always on it. Our hearts are always locked in it. And so we're just constantly, even atheists in this time, God, if you're out there, would you do something? And so everybody remembers to pray and nobody needs reminding. But still, even in moments like this, I don't know if there's anyone who would say, you know, I've got this whole prayer thing covered. I've mastered this. I've arrived. I'm there. There's nothing more I have to learn to in my frequency of prayer or even in my effectiveness. But as we look in Luke chapter 11, we see that Jesus, and the scripture tells us that Jesus was in the habit of praying. Luke mentions Jesus' prayer life more than any other gospel writer. He says this, that Jesus was in the habit of getting up early and going off by himself and going into and finding a place of prayer. And his disciples, they like to sleep in. And so they'd wake up and they say, where's Jesus? And they'd have to go find him. But here in Luke chapter 11, we see that his disciples were actually with him. For some reason, he decided to bring them along and include them in this time of prayer. And we see, read here that one of his disciples, he waited till Jesus was finished. But then he asked Jesus, he said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And even before we get into Jesus' words and his response here, we see that there's a teaching moment from the text. If I were to ask you, what is prayer? Some of us may say, well, it's asking God for things, which I think is a good answer and it's a start. I think a better answer, some of us may say, well, it's talking with Jesus, which involves both asking, sharing our hearts, and listening in response as well. But if we think of prayer as talking with with Jesus or asking him for things, what we realize is this disciple has taught us something in his actions that if we want to grow in our prayer life, we can actually talk to Jesus about it. We can actually ask Jesus for help. We can pray about our prayer life. We can actually ask him for help. How do you grow in your prayer life? You pray about it. How do you grow in your prayer life? Talk to Jesus, because he wants to instruct us. He wants to lead us in this essential part of any believer's life. And we see Jesus' response. It wasn't shape up. It wasn't get your life more disciplined. It wasn't be more serious about this thing. But his response is so gentle and so straightforward. And he responds just with exactly what we need to hear. And he speaks to us. And so what I want us to do normally as we start, I'll say, let's pray. And then everybody gets quiet and I say a few words. But I think today, just to do something a little out of the box, a little differently, I want us all to pray this prayer of the disciple together. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to respond, and as we read through this text together, he's going to teach us how to pray. So ready? Let's do this together. On the count of three, we're going to say this disciple's prayer. Ready? One, two, three. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. And as we go through Jesus' teaching, if you're taking notes, I found just 5 points that Jesus takes us through in teaching us to pray and leading us through prayer. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father. And the first thing I think Jesus wants us to understand is he wants us to understand our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that the basis for prayer, our prayer life, it's in the context of a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's huge. And we could spend all day just right here, but we won't. But if we understand this, it changes everything about our prayer life. Years ago, when we were working with college students, there's a young man who was interested in a young woman. And so I was just checking in with him. I said, how are things going with that? He goes, yeah, we need to have the DTR. I said, what's the DTR? He says, the define the relationship. And I don't even know if kids today still use that term or not. But if you're married and you remember that period of time dating, or if you're of dating age, you know that anxiety. You're interested in someone else, and maybe they're interested in you as well. You're not sure. They're not chasing you away or trying to get away from you, but maybe there's a mutual interest there as well, but you're not sure. And so you're hesitant. You don't know how to act around them. And so finally you just say, I can't handle the anxiety anymore. We just need to have the conversation. I just need to lay it out there. And maybe they say no. And that gives you some clarity too, where you know, should I pursue harder or should I just shut this down? But if they say yes, whoo, and there's freedom, right? I can call her up anytime I want. I can hold her hand. I can express my heart without any fear of rejection. We understand the context of the relationship. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. Because the first thing we have to understand is that He's a Father to us and we're His sons. He's not just some far-off deity that maybe we've been good enough to get a response from Him. Maybe I've tithed enough. Maybe I've gone to church enough. Maybe I've been good enough to receive some sort of answer. He's our Father. And in knowing He's our Father, we have confidence. Scripture speaks of our confidence. And I remember being younger in my walk with the Lord, and I just thought, I said, well, that's, I got to have confidence if I want to see my prayers answered. I've got to come into the throne room and come in, you know, like John Wayne, kick the doors open and say, I'm going to get what I came here for. But I realized that's just confidence in me. But that's not the confidence that Scripture speaks of. The confidence that Scripture speaks about is confidence of the Father's heart towards us. It's in His love for us as a father that enables us to approach Him. Scripture instructs us, behold, look at, study, understand, observe, remember what measure of love the Father has given to us that we might be called children of God. And Paul tells us in Ephesians that in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus. That means at one time we weren't a son, but God in His Father heart pursued us to adopt us and bring us into this relationship that we have with Him. How do we know that He accepts us? Well, it's this scripture says this, that in this, God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were sinners, while we were not sons, while we were rebellious, while we were going our own way, while we were children of disobedience and objects of wrath, God demonstrated His love for us in this. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. See, there's a sin debt that separated us from the Father. There's a sin debt that caused us to not be able to have a relationship with Him. But He sent His Son Jesus, and in His body on the cross, He made perfect payment for that sin debt. He shed the blood of His Son to wash us and gave us His Spirit to give us a new nature. And if He willingly gave us His Son, will He not also, along with Him, freely give us all things? He's a Father, and we have confidence in His heart through the blood of Jesus. We have confidence in His heart because of the sacrifice of Christ. We have confidence in His heart because He sent His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Amen. And sometimes we mistake that, and we take that, and we say, well, I don't feel like I can approach with confidence because there's sin in my life. Aaron, you don't know the week that I've lived or the week that I've had. And listen, if I came home from work one day and I said, where's my son? And Jen told me, it's like, well, he failed his math test. And so he's hiding away from you in his room. Understand, his performance on that test doesn't negate our relationship, does it? If anything, I bring him closer. If anything, I say, okay, we're going to need to work. I want to see him succeed and prosper in this. And so understand, God deals with our sin now as a father deals with his children. He has compassion on us as a father has compassion on us. And so the first principle, the first dynamic that Jesus wants to teach us in prayer is that we come to him as a father. And the second thing is we learn to delight in our father. Think about when you're a kid, your dad was amazing. He was unbelievable. He could drive a car. He was unbelievable. He could lift heavy stuff. He was amazing. He had a smart answer for everything. And whenever he went to the store, he just got whatever he wanted. Your dad was all powerful, all wise, and all wealthy. He was amazing. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And when we say hallowed be your name, that's just a fancy way of saying make your name holy, or your name is holy. Your name is, and when we speak of name, it's not just, Jesus or Yeshua or Yahweh or God. It's his character. It's his nature. It's his attributes. They are holy. They are altogether separate, unique. There's nothing on this earth that they can be compared to. There's nothing that we've ever experienced that we can even relate to it. It's holy. It's separate. It's different. We're saying, God, your power, your love, your mercy, your strength, God, they are holy. They are altogether separate. They're amazing. They blow our minds. And Lord, excuse me, your kingdom come. And the kingdom of God, it's not a kingdom of words, it's a kingdom of power. Paul tells us that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We don't long for these things. We don't, unless we delight in them. We're saying, God, we love your name and we long for your kingdom. God, we love your character and we delight in your works. That we can actually give ourselves. I don't know if this is necessarily something that we have to do in progression, but there are times where we can just sit before him and just delight in him as a father who loves us. And there are times where we can just sit before him and just delight in his power, delight in his character, delight in his nature, delight in his love and his works, and never even ask him for a thing. This is prayer, but it draws our hearts. It teaches us to pray. It draws us in close to him. And so he says, first of all, when you come to him as a father. Second of all, come to him delighting in him. And third, ask your father for anything. Anything. Give us each day our daily bread. Sometimes I've encountered people who have sort of a pseudo-spiritual response. Where they try to de-emphasize the physical. I say, God's more concerned with the spiritual side of things. And so I'm not really all that worked up. But it's interesting that Jesus, when he's teaching us to pray, the first thing he teaches us to ask for are our physical needs. To say that they're not important to Jesus or to the Father is completely unbiblical. My daughter Donnie, she likes to play in the woods and build little teepees or tents around a tree. And they're just these rotten logs that are just sort of leaned up against a tree. And when I come home, she says, Daddy, I want you to come see what I've done. And my response, of course, isn't, I'm really more concerned about your maturity and your character. I'm really more concerned about, how much time did you spend in prayer today? No. I'm thrilled to have any opportunity I can to connect with her and see inside her little tent. I'm not just concerned with her spiritual development and her character's maturity. I'm equally concerned about making sure she has food and clothing and everything that she needs. It's the whole picture. One of the things I've learned to do in my life is especially at the change of seasons, we'll go up into the attic, and we have a stockpile of clothing for the next season up there. And Jen will go through and take an inventory, and she comes down and she gives the report, like, so-and-so, this daughter, this son, doesn't have shorts for the season that's coming up. We need shorts. And I have a good-paying job. We don't have any needs necessarily. We could go out and buy shorts, and it's not going to wreck us. But I've learned to ask my father, would you provide shorts or shoes or whatever we need? Not because I can't run out and do it myself, but he's my dad. He's my father. He wants to take, these things are just as important to him. And you know what I found is every time Jen, after we pray this, Jen will either find this phenomenal deal where they're practically giving these things away, or somebody without us even saying a word shows up and says, hey, my kids are growing out of these. Would you be able to use them? And it's exactly what we need every time. Ask him anything. But not only the physical things, the spiritual things as well. Forgive us of our sins. Father, I want to be continually aware of my need for you. I want to be continually aware of how I need your word and your blood to wash me afresh. Forgive me of my sins. I want to walk in that humility where I realize just the nature of my heart and how easily I stray. But not only that, help me to forgive others who are just as weak as I am. Forgive, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Lord, I know throughout the day I'm going to be tempted to just respond in my anger. I'm going to be tempted to look at things that I shouldn't. I'm going to be tempted in all these ways. God, would you give me strength to walk through these things? So he calls us to approach him as Father. He calls us to delight in him and says, ask me for anything. And then fourth, it says, ask your Father continually for these things. This isn't just something we do right in the morning and then we're set for the day, but we move in this continually throughout every day of our lives. Then Jesus says to them, he gives us a little illustration or a parable. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed and I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." And at this point, the disciples are kind of scratching their head. They're saying, "Jesus, you're saying God's like this grumpy neighbor that you woke up in the middle of the night. And just if you bother him enough in aggravation, he'll finally say, just take the bread and get out of here." No, Jesus goes on. He says, here's the takeaway. Here's the thing I want you to know from this illustration. There's a number of things in here we could debate and a little confusing. Scholars don't have all the answers, but here's what Jesus says. "So I say to you, ask." The point of this parable is that we learn to ask. In the wording here, it's the continual present. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. We're continually to go before him and remember his love for us as a father. We're continually to go before him and delight in his power and delight in his works. We're continually to go before him and bring him our every needs, physical and spiritual, and keep going after it. We can never exhaust his glory. We can never exhaust his love. We can never exhaust his provision of our physical needs or our spiritual. And I love how Jesus concludes this, because point number 5, is that we pray for, in, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise, all we're left with is just try and do a little better at these things. But the Holy Spirit is actually involved in each one of these. And Jesus gives us a great example at the end. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" For you to be led in prayer that's more continual and more effective, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the Holy Spirit does? Scripture tells us that God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. If you want to know his great love with which he's loved us, the Father's love for us, you need the Holy Spirit bringing that revelation into your heart. You can pray, "Holy Spirit, teach me, show me more of the love of the Father." The Holy Spirit's also called the Spirit of Sonship, the Spirit of Adoption, through which we can even cry, "Abba, Father." If you want to grow in your intimacy and fellowship with the Father, you need the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him, but he's revealed it to us by his Holy Spirit. How should we pray, Holy Spirit? What's on the Father's heart? What does he want to do? What does he want to accomplish? Let me know, and I want to pray into that. It's through the Holy Spirit that we know the Father's love, his power, and his attributes. He's continually testifying, opening up the scriptures, opening up our minds, giving us understanding, giving us knowledge of the Holy One. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we trust the Father for every need. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we overcome every temptation. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we walk in the revelation of our forgiveness that we've received from the Father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we extend that same measure of forgiveness to others. And it's through his continual presence, through the continual presence of the Holy Spirit and our fellowship with him, that we learn to pray at all times and without ceasing. Because he's with us. He's in us. He fills us. He speaks to us. And again, like I said, I don't think this is a progression that you got to stop and write down notes and then follow it every time you come before the Lord and pray. Okay, first this, first. But these are 5 different dynamics that we carry with us throughout the day. where in listening to the Holy Spirit, we're just suddenly reminded, God, you saved me to bring me into your home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great love with which you loved me. I know who I was, and you know even better who I was. I deserved none of your grace, none of your forgiveness. I certainly didn't deserve the death of your son, but you did it anyway to pay the penalty of my sin. Thank you. Lord, I remember your great power. Lord, I remember your great work. And Lord, I want to see more of it in my life. Let your kingdom come. Make your name holy in my life. Make your name holy in my community. Make your name holy in my workplace. I want others to know this same love that you've shown me. Lord, I have this need. It surprised me. I didn't expect this bill to come. Lord, I don't have the funds. Lord, I don't have the resources to resolve this problem. But Father, give me what I need today to do this. Father, help my heart. Help my heart to move in love, to be loving as you're loving, to be forgiving as you're forgiving. Father, help me. Lord, as I know I'm going into this situation, I'm going to face temptation. God, would you help me? And he's faithful to give it. And in this, Lord, we just walk in this fellowship. I've shared this before, but as sometimes I'll drive up to Seneca, and one of my favorite spots is crossing the lake at Broken Bridges. And if you look to your left, there's just this beautiful mountain range on a clear day. You can see it. The other day I love just driving through this. Thank you, Lord. I love our area here, especially as green is coming out. Thank you, Father. Lord, that we get to live in such a beautiful area. I was coming back through Westminster the other day, and there are men doing road work. And here we are in the middle of an economic downturn for numerous reasons. But Lord, thank you that these men have work to do, that you're going to provide for their families through it. I was thanking God for their work on behalf of them. But it's this continual state of delighting in him, asking him for the things that we need, rejoicing in him, receiving his love for us and revelation in it. And it just draws us. It teaches us daily to pray. And he's calling all of us into it. You don't need any skill. You don't need a degree. The only thing I would say is read your Bible more, because it will give you better language in prayer. But he invites all of us into this. From the weakest of us to the strongest of us, from the least educated, from the richest to the poorest, people who walked with the Lord for 1 year, people who walked with the Lord 20 years, he invites us to know him in the place of prayer. Let's have the worship team come forward. We'll close with a few songs. And let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, you said that you would not leave us as orphans, but that you would come to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you. You said that it was better that you go, that the Holy Spirit would come. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you now, over all the people present here right now, and over everyone watching at home, Lord, we ask, teach us to pray. Lead us in prayer. Lord, we ask for continued revelation into your heart for us as a Father. Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would hear the whisper of your voice calling us, Lord, in the middle of tough and troubling situations, just to lift our needs to you. Lord, we thank you that your word instructs us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to your word, your faithfulness to your people. And Lord, we bless you. Teach us to pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.